good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 14th, 2022. Well, Butch, hello, happy Valentine's Day.
Hello, Melody. Same thing to you. I hope you had a great weekend.
I did.
I did, too. Believe it or not, I kind of took it easy. I don't get to do it very often, but I just kind of didn't a whole lot of nothing. Did a little bit of writing, a little bit of studying, but just relax. It's a good weekend sometime to get to do that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so we had a little snow last night again.
We did, too.
But, oh well. Gold today. Let's get right into the market report. Up 1280 in the New York spot price aftermarket, 1872. Silver is up 25 cents at $23.93. Platinum was up 5, 1038. Palladium was up 55, 2460. The USDX today was up 0.32 at 96.34. Crude oil was up $1.90 at $95. I had to pay $4 for gas yesterday.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. You have the markets. The Dow was down 171 points, 34,566. The S&P was down 17. The NASDAQ basically unchanged, 13,790. Asian markets were all negative. Europe markets were all negative. And the bond yield is at 2% again, as it touched 2% last week. Early morning trade, it was below, but it was pushed back up. So 10-year yield, 2%. And you know, it's interesting. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but I'm going to start it off that way. You know, they talk about the Dow dropping 170 points because of investors are assessing the Russian-Ukraine tensions and maybe even the Fed's plans for rate hikes. You know, it is what's weird about this whole situation is that it does seem so planned. You know, Russia moves into attack positions. I wonder if this is all part of what they were trying to claim as a false flag, and our government's in on it too. You know, because you can see them move troops, Butch.
Oh yeah.
But when there's headlines, when Ukrainians believe that, you know, Wednesday's going to be the war day, that's when the war is going to start. We have 48 hours just to stop the war. They're not going to release that information, would they?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I wouldn't think so. There's something fishy going on here, and I'm going to share just a second since you start out with this topic. A comment, an article about Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. We'll share it in a second. But there are some fishy things going on here. It just doesn't add up, and I don't know what's going on. They say they're withdrawing people. Germany's withdrawn. There's people from Ukraine. Other nations have too. But according to this article, Melody, Zelensky invites Biden to visit Ukraine in coming days and push back against imminent invasion fears. Now, I mean, this is the president of Ukraine, Melody. This is a guy that probably should be one of the most worried people in the world if this were going to happen right away. Said during a Sunday phone call, Ukraine President Zelensky asked Biden to visit Kyiv in person amid continuing White House claims that a Russian invasion is set to happen any day now, saying that under major Ukrainian cities are under safe protection. Zelensky suggested that a visit of the U.S. president in person will stop the spread of panic and prevent escalation. I am convinced that your visit to Kyiv is in the coming days will be a powerful signal and help stabilize the situation, Zelensky was quoted as saying in the call. We will stop any escalation. the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, other cities in our country, Kharkov and Lviv, I can't see the word cities, Odessa and Dnipro are under safe protection. Zelensky himself and other top Kyiv officials have in the past days once again been urging Washington to calm down its rhetoric. On Saturday, the Ukrainian leader publicly urged the U.S. to provide evidence or any relevant intelligence to back his claim of imminent Russian invasion. I'll make that point again. The president of Ukraine said, "Would you please provide us with evidence or any relevant intelligence to back your claim of an imminent Russian invasion?" That Zelensky has now gone so far as to issue a personal invitation for Biden to travel to Ukraine is clearly a move aimed at directly combating the White House persistent fear-mongering and overblown predictions regarding Russian intent. Melody, something isn't right here. I mean, the president of the country is not a bit worried, but America is warning everybody to get out of there, and people are pulling out their citizens from this country. What is really going on here?
Yeah, why would Biden go there with the tip of if it's war is supposed to start on Wednesday?
I have no idea.
I mean, it's just
it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And I had gotten a text from Rob, and he says, "Do you really think Putin is so inexperienced that he would tip his hand to the U.S.? This is a setup to sell war to the sheeple." And it doesn't have to, and he's referencing the report that I mentioned that the U.S. believes Putin has given order to Russia military to invade Ukraine. Now, this was supposed to be a new report. Like, why would they tip his hand? Exactly. I agree.
Again,
There's something that's just, you know, and I don't, if there are 130,000 troops there, I just don't see Putin turning around with his tail between his legs and call and say, okay, well, you know, I comply. I'll comply and, you know, pull my troops out and let's go home, boys. No.
Well, when the president of the country is not concerned, why do you think, I mean, wouldn't you think he'd be asking for a little bit of help? I mean, this is imminent. Come and help us. We're going to be invaded any day now. Instead, he's saying he wants to talk to the president so we stop putting out the imminent claims that Russia is going to attack them. It isn't happening. What does America have in mind? Are they trying to instigate a war? Are they trying to cause problems there? What is going on behind this? I do not trust our government for good morning. I truly don't. But when the president of the country that's just supposed to be invaded is calm and saying everything's fine, why are we hyping this up and getting other countries to withdraw their citizens from that country? What is going on?
I mean, I don't have an issue with, you know, having, you know, American citizens, because you don't know what's going on. I don't know if 130,000 troops is a lot. Is that a lot?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's several divisions. Yes, that's a lot. That's rather a large move. But again, we withdrew our citizens.
So I don't have an issue with that. You say, hey, guys, you know, you better get home and so forth and whatnot. But it's everything else that's going along with it.
Exactly. And getting other countries so concerned they're withdrawing their citizens. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it was pretty much like, hey, Wednesday's the day that is going to happen. So, you know, get prepared, everybody. I mean, it's just weird.
What's supposed to happen last weekend?
Is this the way the wars are going to be fought from now on?
I don't know, but it was imminent over the weekend. Well, here it is Monday. Nothing's happened yet that I know of. So I really don't know what's going on there. But there's something behind the scenes there that we're not supposed to see. Obviously,
I agree.
I mean, it's just something that's really strange about that. And I got to go back to ask you a question about the Fed. The Fed had the surprise meeting. Do you know what came out of that?
No, it was a surprise private meeting.
So then nothing came out of that. Okay, I didn't hear anything. So I was wondering if you heard anything.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we'll see what comes out of the Russian-Ukraine situation. I'm not too concerned myself, and the president of the country isn't either, so I guess, you know, I shouldn't stay awake. I ain't worried about it. He's not worried about it. I don't want to say, Mel. That's as far as I go with that. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes with this. No idea.
Yeah, but I know. It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense.
It does.
And it would be so easy for them to, you know, all Russia wants is to not allow those bordering nations go into NATO.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, that means he can go in there and do it, but it should be a little more complicated than that, but I don't see what anything else is. So, I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll know some more soon if they say
we'll
Wednesday.
Know something Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I've got to share this, though, because this article, this new bill that's proposed here in this state, Melody, it has to be one of the most important bills in the country. 12 other states already passed it. It's called the Crown, C-R-O-W-N, Crown Act. Introduced Senate Bill 148 by Senators Baldwin, Lindsey, and Caputo. Introduced a bill aimed to amend the Code of West Virginia in 1931, as amended by adding thereto a new section designated 511.22 related to prohibiting racial discrimination based on certain hair textures and hairstyles. Oh my gosh. For the purpose of this article, discrimination based on race includes, but not limited to, discrimination on hair textures and protective hairstyles historically associated with a particular race. The term particular hairstyles includes, but is not limited to, hairstyles such as braids, locks, and twists. So 12 states already passed this. The one that's passed in West Virginia, that you can't discriminate about on hair for a reason of hairstyles. I had never known that to be a problem in the past. Had you?
No, but there are a lot of dreadlocks around lately.
I mean, we're paying these people to debate about passing a law against being racist over hairstyles. And, I mean, this is just going to be insane. And 12 states already passed it. I mean, we can move on from that, but I had to share that. This is what our state in the last few years have done, some very good things legislative-wise, but to have to take time to debate over adding to the civil code, whatever it'll be, that you can't debate, you can't just be a hard time over the hairstyle. I have never ever in my life ever thought about giving somebody a hard time over the hairstyle.
In West Virginia.
That's in West Virginia, yes. Yeah. And 12 of the states already passed it, so gee. I don't know. If one of my sons would come home with purple hair now, I might get upset about that. But I mean, every doll would be. So anyway, we'll move on from that. But I had to share that. I thought it was amusing and frustrating at the same time, if you know what I'm saying. Now, car dealers are raising prices. Automakers are pushing back. Consumers are stuck in between. Golly, imagine that. Soaring car prices have set off a battle between automakers and independent dealers, with consumers routinely paying hundreds, often thousands, more than their listed price amid a protracted vehicle shortage. Now, I know this is true. This is happening, folks. Ford and General Motors recently upbraided dealers for ignoring the manufacturer's suggested retail price, a practice that was practically unheard of a year ago and GM calls unethical. They've threatened to withhold deliveries of their most popular offerings, including Ford's buzz-generating F-150 Lightning pickup and other forthcoming electric vehicle models. But data shows that such markups are pervasive across the industry. More than 80% of U.S. car buyers paid above MSRP in January, according to automakers' research from Edmunds. Now, if this is called price gouging, it is, and some people pay as much as $10,000 more than MSRP for an automobile because they're having a hard time getting a car. That is price gouging, Bill. I don't care what anybody says. To raise the prices just because you can, that isn't ethical at all. You agree?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we've seen it happen with gasoline prices when towns are getting behind, the dealers raise their prices, double and triple the prices, and they get in trouble for it, and they should. And give you an idea how much is this happening. There are 10 models that have been gouged the worst. The first one is a Dodge Caravan. In January 2021, the Caravan cost $15,227. Today it's $25,789. 69% increase. Now just let that sink in. $10,000 more in a year. The Nissan Versa was $9,842. Now $16,366. The bottom one is Kia. The Kia Rio was $11,182. Is now $16,937. That is absolutely, unbelievably, to me, fraud a fraud to do that. 69% increase in a year's time because they can. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, people must be buying them or they wouldn't.
That's the key.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. Financing cars for 7 years, it's about $800 a month. That's, to me, ridiculous, but, you know, that's what's happening. They don't seem to mind to pay it.
If you look at a $17,000 compared to most average vehicles out there, it's $30,000. I guess you're going to buy it. $17,000 is better than $30,000.
Oh, it is. But to go up 50%, 51% in a year's time, that's quite an increase in a year, Melody. I mean, that's way beyond what we would call normal inflation. Do you agree?
Agreed.
But on the good side of the day, you mentioned Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day could be a $23.9 billion gift to restaurants and retailers. I did not know this. Average American expect to spend $175.41 on dining out, jewelry, and candy for Valentine's Day gifts. I didn't know that. This could be the second highest year for Valentine's Day spending on record, according to the National Retail Federation. So, but some people are happy in that Valentine's Day suite. If you got a sweetheart, I guess you want to be nice to them, that's fine. But Americans expect to spend a collective $23.9 billion this Valentine's Day, according to the National Retail Federation, which is up $21.8 billion in 2021. So, hey, that's a good year, I guess. On the average U.S. household is spending an extra $250 a month, or $3,000 a year now due to high inflation. So, but this is one thing that they're going to do. They're going to spend some money Valentine's Day, and if they like doing that and they can do it, more power to them. But almost 25% of Americans said this last year's inflation had a significant impact on their livelihood, and I had no doubt it did. And no doubt. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope, I think we're good.
You think we're good?
I think we're good.
But don't worry, we're going to have a law here that I can't laugh at your hair. So don't worry about it. It'll be all right.
Hey, yes. How does this work? You're suing somebody, all right? And you had the case. You went to court. It was a jury court. The jury is out deliberating on a case. But a judge throws it out. And this involves the Palin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sarah Palin had filed suit against the New York Times. And the judge, the U.S. District Court Judge Jed Rakoff, came as a Manhattan jury was deliberating on her suit, which claimed the Times defamed her by unfairly linking her to a 2011 shooting spree in Arizona that killed six people and gravely wounded then Representative Gabby Giffords. How does a judge throw your case out when you have a jury that's deliberating? How's that work?
I don't think it's supposed to work that way.
What does work is our break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Did you hear this about avocados, Butch?
I did. You go ahead and share that, though. It's interesting.
The U.S. halts avocado imports. So if you like avocados, you better go get them. The price will be rising on those. But they're halting the imports from a region of Mexico. And it's because one of the, let me see if I can find this here. The U.S. had informed Mexico's agricultural ministry of the decision after one of its officers who was carrying out inspection work in the city of Uruapan received a threatening call to his cell phone. So that's why we pull, I mean, really? That's why we pull our avocado imports? The move came a day before avocados from Mexico was set to air. They were supposed to air a commercial last night on the Super Bowl. But what's interesting is they only, I don't know if I can find this information here. They only allowed imports of avocados to begin like in 1997. They were actually banned from Mexico from like 1914, I believe it was, because they didn't want those avocados coming in with various diseases and so forth. So it was actually banned just up until 1997. So,
wow.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Everybody loves avocados, but I think, I don't know if we can't grow enough to feed ourselves. But there you go, Mr. Clinton. Reverse that ban, and so yeah, now we're banning it again. But
do we get it from other places also? I mean, the ban up to 1997. Where did you get them from before that?
I don't know. I didn't do that research, Butch. Thank you very much.
Just curious. Okay. Well, I mean, we must survive with another resource for a few years.
Well, number one, we didn't have as many people. Probably not that. I mean, you couldn't transport avocados. Probably didn't go from East Coast to West Coast. I was raised on the East Coast, and I didn't know what an avocado was until I moved to Arizona. So you probably only serviced most of the nation in any large amount. Would have been. So, I mean, how many people ate avocados before we had Cinco de Mayo?
Well, I do know they're good on a sandwich. I think I really enjoyed them.
Oh, they're excellent. I love avocados.
Yes, they're good on a sandwich. When we were in Mexico a couple of times, they had them for breakfast, and they had them also on sandwiches. They were really, really good, but they were grown right there in the area where we got them from. They were totally fresh. Now, I don't know what they were stopping for. Maybe the guy, what did they say to the inspector, by the way? Does anybody have an idea what was said on the phone?
Oh, they didn't talk much about that. No. They're just saying that it was banned. But they were supposed to, this Mohocan, about a two-hour drive west of Mexico City, is very rich in agriculture and exported more than 135,000 tons of avocados to the U.S. in the last 6 weeks alone.
Mm.
The U.S. is the world's top importer of the fruit, and prices tend to surge right before the Super Bowl. And, of course, it's the biggest day for consumption in the U.S. 135 tons of avocados in 6 weeks. Amazing.
That's going to hurt some. That's going to hurt some farmers down there, is it not?
Well, that's a lot. Yep.
That's a lot. It's going to hurt some farmers. I don't know what. I have no idea what happened there. I saw that article. I thought it was kind of odd, but I didn't get much into it. But if you like avocados, folks, like you said, you better get them while you can, because prices will go up immediately.
Prices will rise immediately.
Immediately.
Yep.
They will. They will.
And they won't be on the shelf. Period.
No. Even if you had the money, you won't be able to get them. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And back to more news on finances. $100 oil threatens to compound world economic inflation shock. Oil surged towards $100 a barrel for the first time since 2014 and is threatening to deal a double blow to the world economy by further denting growth prospects and driving up inflation. That's a worrying combination for U.S. Federal Reserve and fellow central banks as they seek to contain the strongest price pressures in decades without derailing recoveries from the pandemic. Group of 20 finance chiefs meet virtually this week for the first time this year with inflation among their top concerns. While energy exporters stand to benefit from the boom, and oil for oil's influence on economies isn't what it once was, much of the world will take a hit as companies and consumers find their bills rising and spending power squeezed by costlier food, transportation, and heating. According to Bloomberg Economics, SHOK model, a climb in crude to $100 by the end of the month from around 70 at the end of 2021 could lift inflation by about a half a percentage in the U.S. and Europe in the second half of the year. So, I mean, we're seeing the J.P. Morgan and others say it's going to go to 150, and I have no doubt it is. Going to 150. If it goes to 100, it'll go to 150, probably this year also. Yes, this is going to cause inflation, folks. Everything needs energy to be moved and produced. It all needs this. And it's going to affect all of us. There's no point in shrugging the shoulders and saying it isn't going to happen. Melanie paid $4 a gallon for gasoline this weekend. So here in our area, the price runs anywhere from $2.95 a gallon to $3.30 a gallon. Depends where you buy it. I don't know why there's such a big difference, but there is. But $4 a gallon of gas, Melody, I mean, that means if you buy $20 worth, you got 5 gallons of gas. That's not a lot of gas in $20.
Mm-mm.
It really isn't. And if you get 25 miles a gallon, that's not going to run you very far. And most cars don't get that good of mileage. Any comments on the article yourself?
No.
These are things that whether this war that's imminent or not, whether it happens or not, it's influencing prices on things. European energy prices soar as Western media hypes an imminent Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now, I want to repeat that word, hypes. European energy prices soar as Western media hypes imminent Russian invasion of Ukraine. Is it for real? I have no idea. But apparently some of the world is not taking all that seriously, including the president of the Ukraine. European natural gas and electricity prices jumped as Western corporate media continued to drum up headlines of an imminent Russian invasion of Ukraine that could spark World War III. That is some strong language. It really is. If they're doing that just for any other reason than it really is going to happen, it's really a low blow to the world to do this. Benchmark European gas prices rose more than 10% to €84 a megawatt hour, the highest in weeks. German power prices also moved higher. Europe's energy crunch is set to worsen if tensions in the region deteriorate. Russian gas supplies is already low as storage facilities are well below the average for this time of year. This means that gas supplies remain tight through spring. The risk of rolling blackouts across the continent increase if Russia cuts off gas to Europe. Again, these are not rolling blackouts, folks, across the state, like in the United States. This is across nations in the UK. The immediate focus is on the potential for a disruption in Russian energy supplies to Europe, which will be very difficult to deal with and could create a true energy shortage even beyond the challenge that we're already seeing, said Jason Burdoff, director of the Center for Global Energy Policy at Columbia University. But before that, Europe was already in an energy crisis. According to monthly auction results on Monday, Russian supplier Gazprom PAJSC didn't book additional pipeline capacity for March to send gas to Germany via the Yamal, your pipe. Gas flows through Ukraine and Europe also far below contractual volumes. So, I don't know, but I liked what they said, that the news media, they call it the Western corporate media. Corporate media, folks, means they basically work together. And you can surely see that happening. But they're hyping up. They said they hyped up this, and it's causing troubles for the UK, especially, for the UK and even Germany, big time, because of price of gas and heating fuel going up, and it could cause blackouts. Well, that's not a good thing to consider. And if there really were a war, if it really did break out, can you imagine what kind of chaos that would cause in the UK when it comes to getting gas, natural gas, and other fuels in the continent, in the countries? I mean, can you imagine what that would cost? I mean, what that would do to the people?
But what I don't understand is, if we would cut off, I'm sure they'd get it from somewhere else, but it takes time to change.
It does take time,
and
yes.
And reroute.
Yes.
So if they cut off Russia from the oil, it's just going to hurt the rest of Europe. You know, so they're also penalizing Europe and those who get,
and
especially
Europe
the
gets,
ones down through Germany.
Hmm? Yeah, UK gets a lot of its natural gas from Russia.
Yeah.
So maybe there will be other ways to get gas to them, but if you had to ship it by ship across the oceans, that doesn't happen instantly. It takes days and weeks to get there and get that done. And to keep a constant supply would be very hard to do.
And you know what, this thing with Ukraine, I just can't forget the relationship that Biden and his son had with Ukraine.
Yes.
And I just can't forget that.
And I can imagine, if the president of Ukraine is not wanting Biden to hype this up, why is he doing it? I mean, the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, is not too concerned. Why is Biden doing this? What's the game?
Well, we forgot, too, Zelensky, the president, he used to be a comedy sketch artist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Okay. In his real life, before he came a politician, he starred in a sitcom that was called Servant of the People. It was about a history teacher who somehow gets elected president on the strength of a viral video that he was ranting about corruption. So that's how he won a landslide victory in 2019. But he was a comedian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we
so anybody
actors.
Could be president.
Yeah, we had an actor in. Remember, you remember Ronald Reagan, of course.
Yeah.
An actor elected. And of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected, an actor in California. So yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. This next article is a little bit lengthy, but I think it's very important to go through because it's affecting people all across the country. Shoplifting reaches crisis proportions. I had no idea it was going to be this bad. I really didn't. But shoplifting has gotten so bad nicely that chains like Rite Aid are closing hard-hit stores, sending terrified employees home in Ubers, and locking up aisles of seemingly mundane items like deodorant and toothpaste. Locking up the aisles, folks. You can't give yourself. You have to get a lot. You have to ask, get permission to go buy something off the shelves. Wow. Why it matters. Retailers are already reeling from the pandemic, supply chain woes, and the labor shortage. Now they're combating systematic looting by organized crime gangs, which are growing more aggressive and violent. It's out of control. It's just out of control, Lisa Labruno, SVP of Operations and Innovation at the Retail Industrial Leaders Association, tells Axios. A lot of the uptick is tied to the ease of reselling stolen goods online, plus the fact that consumers are buying more everyday goods online during COVID. We've experienced a 300% increase in retail theft from our stores since the pandemic began, CVS spokesman Michael DeAngelis tells Axios. So CVS experienced a 300% increase in retail theft. Wow. At a Rite Aid that just closed its doors in Midtown Manhattan, more than $200,000 in goods were stolen in December and January, per the New York Post. $200,000 stolen in 2 months. They come in every day, sometimes twice a day, with laundry bags and just load up stuff, the Post quoted a store employee saying. The retail industry is pressing Congress to pass the Inform Act, which require online marketplaces like Amazon, eBay, and Facebook to verify sellers and provide contact information to buyers. Attorneys and generals in states like California, Arizona, and New Mexico are setting up anti-shoplifting task force and looking at stricter laws on bail reform and felony thresholds. District attorneys in cities like Chicago and New York are considering harsher measures against shoplifters. The big picture, the problem is made worse by flash mobs like the 80 people who stormed a Nordstrom in San Francisco in November and organized retail crime groups that often hire homeless people and drug addicts as boosters to their dirty work. Store shelves aren't the only places getting hit. Warehouses and cargo trucks are also in the crosshairs. Molly, folks, even trains are being robbed. Teams of boosters will throng a store with laundry bags, grabbing what they can, and assaulting workers who confront them, sometimes fatally. One Bay Area crime ring stole 8 million in merchandise from CVS, Walgreens, and Target stores. Another one ripped off the staggering 50 million in goods, mostly health and beauty products, that thieves stockpiled in a warehouse. More than 1.6 million in razor blades alone were recovered per Loss Prevention magazine. In addition to locking high theft items behind anti-theft panels, retailers are arming more merchandise with alarm security tags. They're installing shelf sensors that can tell when a customer had been browsing for a suspiciously long time, and adding smart shopping carts with wheels that lock if someone sneaks it past the cash register. Gee whiz. But too many locks can frustrate honest shoppers, potentially sending them into the arms of an Amazon.com instead of the corner store. LeBruno of the Retail Industry Leaders Association said merchants are always doing a balancing act to ward off theft while making inventory accessible. Al Sharpton addressed the issue on Morning Joe on Thursday, saying they're locking up my toothpaste. A survey released in December by the National Retail Federation found that designer clothing was the top item reported stolen, followed by laundry detergent, razors, designer handbags, and deodorant. The top five cities for organized retail crime is Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, New York, and San Francisco. Melody, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I mean, we knew it was bad, but Grade A store in Manhattan had lost $200,000 in 2 months. No wonder they shut down. That's way more than I'm sure they made in profits. That's amazing.
You know, that was always, when I worked for, this goes back many, many, many years ago, I worked for a large department store in the credit department, and the biggest expense that the store had was theft. So, Wow. But nothing like what's going on today. And I mean, it's just everywhere in the various places. I'm sure you've seen those pictures by now. This was out a couple of 3 weeks ago of the trains. The cargos?
Oh, yes, yeah, they're in train. Yes, they are.
In
yes.
L.A.?
Yes.
The amount of trash, the boxes that have been looted? I mean, that's incredible. And it's like, who cares?
Well, when you have 80 people hit store at one time, you sure can't stop them all, can you?
You can't do a whole lot. Well,
no, you can't.
You could.
You have to have a machine gun. It'd be hard to stop all of them, and you might get killed doing it, too.
Well, we're going to have to stop now because we go on to a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And we're back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, you know, I did some comparison shopping online today, Butch, and we're pretty much less than most everybody out there, but there was one company out there that you know, there's something wrong, usually, maybe not always, 99% of the time, when they are selling items, like, for pennies over wholesale.
Yes.
There's an issue. They're having a problem. That's one of the first signs. And I'm not saying they're having a problem. I don't want anybody knocking on my door, so I'm not saying that, and I didn't give the company name. But normally, every gold company in the past that sold like right at wholesale or slightly above went out of business and people didn't get delivered. Reason they're selling it that low? Against the whole industry. And everybody knows it, but they'll do it and they'll get away with it for so long, and then suddenly a whole lot of folks won't get delivered. So be careful out there. We'll match prices if we can, but I'm not going to sell something a few pennies over spot. I certainly don't want that reputation. But we are very competitive. I do my own shopping online, my comparison shopping, and I know how competitive we are. But, yeah, I can't match their price. I won't do that. But that's what happens, so be careful. 1-800-375-4188. Butch.
And, you know, I've been in this long enough to see this has happened to people. You just told me, but they don't get the product. I know companies that actually did that. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. And so people put out their hard-earned money to order a few $1,000 worth of goods, and then to them it's a lot of money, but they never get the product, and the company's bankrupt, out of business, and can't do much about it. So that's, yeah, folks, be careful. Be very careful. This is why I deal with Melody exclusively, because I trust Melody. You can too. She has never, ever, ever shorted anybody. Ever. No. And she's been in business more than 4 or 5 years now. I know that for a fact. So you can trust Melody. And I will say that sincerely. But do be careful. If you're like me, your funds are hard to come by. You're not rolling a lot of money. They just throw away. So be careful. And I don't know about Maryland, your state's living, Melody, but West Virginia has also put a bill up to stop the state income taxes. And, I mean, that's a good move. It is. In a lot of states, we're going to share this article in a second. But, it's something that states are trying to be competitive now, and they have to be. But 8 states have no levies on income, and lawmakers in a dozen others are moving toward that goal, and we're one of them. Congressional Democrats are debating which taxes to increase, while the Biden White House is negotiating a worldwide cartel to limit tax competition. Quick question. How is he going to limit tax competition, Melody? A worldwide cartel to limit that. What exactly are they saying there?
Why don't you just go on? Yeah.
Well, it doesn't say what it does. I mean, I looked it up and couldn't find anything about it. But anyway, but in the 50 states, there is a dramatic increase in tax competition to provide the best government at the lowest cost. Economists have long noted the power of interstate tax competition for jobs and investment.
Oh, okay.
In 2021, the 10 states that gained the most residents from domestic immigration had an average total state and local tax burden at a percentage of 7.7%, notably lower than 9.9% of the 10 states that lost the most residents. Interstate migration and tax competition are increasing for four reasons. First, 2 years of working from the home during COVID taught employers that it isn't necessary to live in high tax states. Second, thanks to limits on the deductibility of state and local taxes in 2017 tax reform, blue states with high income property taxes are no longer have the cost of their high tax policies hidden and subsidized by reduced federal income taxes. Third, Americans have noticed that the high tax states don't provide better roads, education, or other services. Florida, with 22 million residents, has no income tax, and the state spends half as much as New York, 20 million residents. New York has a top state income tax of 8.82%, soon rising to 10.9%, and was the only state to raise its personal income tax during the pandemic. Now, from what I understand, if I read this article, tell me if I'm right, Biden wants to even that out. Is that what he's saying? He wants to do away with that somehow?
Well, I don't know what he wants to do. He doesn't know what he wants to do.
That's very true.
So, but I mean, you know, they're all out to get the rich people, the wealthy people. They always target them. But you know what? When you're talking about taxes here, Elon Musk, he's going to pay zero federal tax.
Yes,
zero. Now he's saying that he's paying $11 billion in personal tax, but zero in federal. And that's just, something does need to be fixed about that. Not targeting the people and the corporation, but changing the tax laws. In the annual report filed with the SEC on February 7th, Tesla said in an inconspicuous notes section on page 86, U.S. operations recorded a loss. And that all of the pre-tax net income stemmed from overseas operations. They all do it. Every one of them. As a result, Tesla said it expects to pay zero in federal income tax and $9 million in state tax. Because you had Tesla relocated their headquarters from California to Texas. On its foreign profit, Tesla will pay $699 million in income taxes, which translates into an effective tax rate of 11%. He doesn't even pay the 21% federal corporate tax in the U.S.
I don't know how that works out to be even close to being fair and equitable. I don't get
it. It isn't. But that's what they all do. And, you know, the one article concluded that it said, you know, all these multinational corporations, I mean, if they don't do it, it's considered to be, you know, fraud. You know, if you don't,
the states want to draw more people in the states with the state income tax being gone, then that's fine. That is fine, I suppose. But, I don't know if the states, the blue states, are taxing them to the point you're leaving the states. Wouldn't you think they catch on pretty soon? They can't do that any longer.
Yeah, but sometimes they don't have a choice because they're so far in debt. They're still going to have to keep the taxes to pay what they have to. They're going to have to keep increasing them. They're going bankrupt.
Those states are absolutely spending too much. I know that our little state has had a surplus. We paid all the bills and had a surplus the last few years. So, I mean, if we can do it, anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. We only have a million and a half in the whole state. You know, I mean, have people in the whole state, and half of those who aren't working. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. They just got to figure it out. But you can't you can't tax the people to prosperity, and you can't spend your way to prosperity. It doesn't work that way. But it seems like the states or the government that doesn't realize that, and the federal government certainly doesn't realize that. Matter of fact, I'll make this one article here very quickly before we run out of time because I think it's important, and it's kind of scary, too. You probably saw this. Nebraska joins call for convention of states to amend U.S. Constitution. I guess you saw the article probably. But on January 28th, Nebraska became the 17th state to push for a convention of states to make changes in the U.S. Constitution, an unconventional process that never had been used before. Under Article 5 of the Constitution, calling convention to amend the U.S. Constitution would require approval of two-thirds of U.S. states, or 34 of 50 states. According to the National Constitution Center, the measure is used to bypass Congress, but has never been accomplished before. Constitutional amendments can also be made if two-thirds of both chambers of the Congress agree on a proposal and is ratified by three-fourths of states. Since the U.S. Constitution was adopted, 27 amendments have been made. The Nebraska legislature, in its resolution, similar to other states, put forward changes that will impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, and I'm all for that, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and then, folks, that was done in Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, read it for yourself, and limit the terms of office for officials and for members of Congress. I'm all for that also. I'm all for those changes, Melody, but I'm very nervous about people getting involved in to reword the Constitution, and we'll say the Bill of Rights, with the mindset of the politician today. How do we know we even have a Second Amendment left or a First Amendment left in the way it was meant to be? How would we know that? How would we trust them? How would you know what you're going to do?
Right.
I like what you're saying. I love to see the term limits. I like to see Congress limited to one session, or no more than two terms, and same with what's in it. But it isn't that way. I like to see the Federal Reserve, the federal government understand they've surpassed their legal powers in jurisdiction of government. And that's, we already have that. The Bill of Rights, Article 10, says that the states are supreme in this issue. And the federal government was to be restrained by the Constitution. That's why it was written. But it's all been forgotten. We all believe now that the federal government is the supreme power of this country, or the U.S. Supreme Court is, and that is not true. Not even close to being true. It's down to the states and or the people to determine. So, but this is very dangerous, folks. And our Constitution, believe me, I know it's very weak in a lot of areas. But to get in there, let them get in there and mess with some of the things we call our rights, which more are duties than rights, and including like the Second Amendment is one of them. So, what's your opinion on that, Melody? What do you think about that?
I agree. If they start messing and getting in there to change, you never know what they add. What you know, it's a slippery slope.
It is.
And
it really
and,
is.
You know, if these were people that you trusted and so forth, but I don't trust any politician that we have now. Very few.
Very
and even
few.
those that can be trusted, sometimes you even question them. So if it ain't broke, the old saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
The only reason it hasn't worked because the people don't make it work.
People
it's
don't,
a piece
right?
Of, no, they don't. They don't know. They don't
well,
know.
It's
what
just like everything else.
Is.
Look at our immigration. Our laws work. They just don't enforce them, so they want to change them. You know, other things, they work. You just got to, most of our laws work. You just got to enforce them. So when they don't enforce them, then they try to create new ones to compensate for their inabilities. So it's crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, you go, I don't know. That's a toughie. I agree with what they want to do, but I don't agree with how they want to do it. I don't.
Right.
And we're about out of time, but I want to get in as far as far as I can. Sanctions set America on the path to war, claiming lies with no benefit. And, folks, this is what happened actually in Germany and Japan before World War II. Sanctions got them a little upset. Sanctions have quickly become the foreign policy establishment's favorite tool. Blacklisting governments opposed to the empire's agenda, I like the way it's worded, empire's agenda allows for politicians to look tough on evil regimes while stopping short of the type of warfare that is largely opposed by the American people. U.S. leaders present sanctions as a low-cost option to punish bad actors and give oppressed people a chance to rise up. However, the results are almost always the opposite. The Cuban embargo presents the best empirical evidence of the failure of sanctions. Though the blockade just celebrated its 60th anniversary, the Castro government remains in power, serving only to increase the country's poverty, not its freedom. While Joe Biden campaigned on rolling back the Donald Trump-era restrictions on trade and travel to Cuba, he has also so far failed to live up to that promise and is likely to pass the blockade on to his successor. Now, folks, this goes on about the U.S. currently has waging maximum pressure campaigns against Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, and Syria, a blockade against Yemen and Cuba, a trade war with China. This doesn't really affect what they do. It just makes the people there have a harder time to pay the bills and make a living. It hasn't ended. It has not ended anything as far as, for example, Cuba becoming a more, I hate to use the word democratic, but a more free, open society to elect its leaders. It hasn't done anything. It just punished the people. And sanctions do lead to war. When people get hungry enough and mad enough and politicians get angry enough that the people start to uprise, they will go to war just to stop the people from trying to toss them out of office. And, folks, this is happening even here in America. We're seeing that politicians get a little nervous. Could that be why they're pushing for war with Russia and Ukraine? I don't know. But it's kind of scary. And it really is. Go ahead, Melody.
No, I was just going to agree with you. It is kind of scary. And you just don't know.
No, you don't know. But sanctions, they don't work the way they say they're going to work. They never have. They just don't do it. All it does is cause more tension inside the country that has the sanctions on it. And, I mean, can you imagine if all the nations of the world would sanction us? Where'd we get our goods from? We're dependent on the whole world to feed us and clothe us now. How about take care of
medications, everything. Food, yeah.
Yes.
What's going to happen? Unless they, first it's the avocados.
Yeah.
Of course, that was our own doing. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, folks. So please be safe out there. And until then, good night and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.